Well, we talked a lot about your time as a mother, some obvious things, or we could probably tell more stories about being Nana, but I am curious, and I think my listeners may be curious as well. There was a time when you were just Janie, and you were 5 years old and 10 and 15 and 25, and I have people listening in different parts of the country and around the world. They may not immediately know the accent and where to place it. Can you talk about, maybe it's Thanksgiving, do you have some early memories of being a young child and just holidays or your first friendships? I know that's a loaded question, but sometimes I say, take me back to those times.
Well, my best memories of Thanksgiving were when my mother's sisters and their children would come for Thanksgiving. And I can remember my mother and her sisters in the kitchen just laughing and talking and cooking. And Lord have mercy, they cooked the best stuff. Oh, golly. I'm from Rock Chapel, Georgia, which used to be country. It's about 20 miles southeast of Atlanta, but it was country. My uncle, who lived next door to us, raised beef cattle, and he had cattle across the road and also cattle behind his house. And he had, this is kind of funny, he had a bull, and it was a mean bull, but he kept the bull in the pasture across the road. And one day, I was probably about 7, my brother might have been 9, my sister was about 13, and for some unknown reason, we decided to climb over the fence and get in the pasture where the mean bull was. And there happened to be this shed that was just a little taller than the bull, where my uncle kept hay, and the bull came charging toward us, and my sister climbed up first, and then she pulled my brother and I up on the roof of the shed, and we sat up there until my uncle came home from work, which was about 2 hours, while that bull was stomping in the ground and, you know, doing the bull noise at us. And he had big old horns. And I don't think mother knew where we were. But back then, mothers didn't usually know where their kids were. But it was so much fun. But our uncle told us, don't ever do that again. That bull could really hurt you. And but anyway, and I asked him once, I said, Albert, why do you name your cows if you know you're going to sell them? And he said, well, how am I going to call them to come eat or to come get in the barn? And I thought, well, yeah, I guess that's right. And then I said, how do you feel when they go to market and you know they're going to get smashed in the head? And he said, I don't think about it. But I had an aunt who lived across the road, and she had 2 milk cows, Daisy and Baby. Daisy was Baby's mother, and my aunt treated those 2 cows just like they were her pets. She would put her hands on their faces. They'd come up to the fence, and she'd say, oh, there's my cute little Baby, and oh, there's my cute little Daisy. And I was her little dumpling. And I would sing when my uncle would come home for, we call the mid-meal dinner. He'd come home for dinner because he worked right down the road, and I loved him. And I would sing an old gospel song called I'll Fly Away, but I called it I'll Pie Away. But he enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it, and it was very special.
I love these stories, and you've told so many over the years that we won't be able to capture tonight of growing up in Rock Chapel. Mm-hmm. and the relationships you had with your friends, but also your relatives. I like what you said about mothers back then. They didn't really concern themselves with where their children were every second, because do you think that also they were, everybody knew their neighbors, and they figured, well, if somebody gets into some trouble, I'll...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody knew. I mean, you were either related to your neighbors or your parents had grown up in the mountains with your neighbors, because during the Depression, just about everybody in Rock Chapel had grown up in the Dahlonega, Georgia area and worked for Consolidated Copper Mines. And when the Depression hit, people couldn't find a job. So Consolidated Copper Mines closed, but they had a quarry in Rock Chapel. And they said, anybody who works for Consolidated Copper Mines who would like a job in Rock Chapel, Georgia, at the quarry, can come down. So all of my uncles and my daddy, before he married my mother, moved down. Even though he didn't work for the copper mines, he still moved down and got a job. So everybody we knew came from the mountains. So we knew everybody, everybody knew us, and you couldn't do anything wrong because somebody would call your mother and say, you know, I just saw Janie and Elizabeth doing blah, 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 blah. So, but it was wonderful. It was like a magical bubble that we lived in. It was just absolutely wonderful. And a historical note, General Sherman marched right through Rock Chapel, Georgia, on his way to the sea. And I have a first-hand account in handwriting from a man whose house General Sherman stopped at. And he remembered, he was probably 10 years old, and he remembers when, as he said, the enemy surely had come.
Wow. And I like your early beginnings and how you've kind of set the scene there. But in your early 20s, you took a job with the Coca-Cola company. Was this your first introduction to the city center and the urban downtown Atlanta? And sometimes I think about, you know, how did Mom go from Rock Chapel to New York and Pittsburgh and Chicago? Was it less of a culture shock because you'd kind of worked and socialized downtown?
When I went to work for Coca-Cola Export, it was the beginning of, I guess I was 20, maybe 19. Anyway, I was going to junior college at night and working at Coca-Cola Export during the day for two engineers, Simon Oricta here, and Mr. Richter wore the same suit. All the women in our small office agreed. He wore the same suit every single day for a couple of weeks before he got it cleaned. And anyway, and then the other one was Mr. Pal Sulich. But Mr. Pal Sulich is responsible for creating the shape of the plastic containers that Coca-Cola comes in now. The big ones. Because before, when I first started working there, it didn't come in plastic. Everything that Coca-Cola sold came in cans or came in bottles. And they were having difficulty with plastic because the pressure per square inch of the carbonated beverage inside the plastic, once the top was secured and all that carbonation was inside, was making all the plastic bottles explode. So Mr. Pausulich and me as his editor and typist wrote a manufacturing manual that he was able to create a plastic bottle that would not explode. So I have that to my credit. But anyway, I spent a lot of time in underground Atlanta. I moved into an apartment and had a couple of roommates. We spent a ton of time in underground Atlanta. And one of my favorite memories, and it's a silly memory, was I went down to meet one of my roommates. We were going to have a drink in underground. So I get down to underground, and there's a man with an organ grinder monkey. So back then, most people didn't use credit cards. We used cash. So I always had cash and change. And so this organ grinder was near where I was standing watching, and the little monkey came up to me, and he grabbed my pocketbook out of my hand, and everything in my pocket, because I didn't give him anything, but everything in my pocketbook spilled all over the street and underground, and I'm trying to grab the stuff while the little monkey's trying to grab the stuff. And so I grab up all the cash and change I can get, and that little monkey is coming after me. And so I run probably two blocks, and that little sucker's running after me. And so I turn around, and I'm hollering at the organ grinder man, come and get your monkey. But I outran the monkey. But anyway, that was fun. But we spent a lot of time. And there was one place we went to. I can't remember the name of the club down there. But the students, the boys from Georgia Tech, would come to that one club. And they were all good-looking guys. And would naturally have a good future going to Georgia Tech. They would either be engineers or physicists or something like that. So, you know, when you're 19, 20, 21, you're starting to look for somebody that you might settle down with. But usually, in the end, what turned out would be you dance with them, but they would get so schnockered that nobody would go home. I mean,
they lost all their appeal.
Yeah. I never took anybody home from a bar ever. But now one of my roommates did. She'd take anything home from a bar. And I won't mention her name, but
was it nice back then to to have some anonymity where if you met some creep at a bar, there's no social media. You're not easily found. You don't even give away your first or last name sometimes. So you disappear. You may not see that guy again. I have to worry about him.
Absolutely. Yeah. We didn't think about it back then, but yeah, you knew if you told some guy who was getting too sloppy drunk to, you know, get off of me, get away, go to another, Look, she's pretty. Go talk to her. You didn't have to worry that they're going to come knocking at your door. But we did have one incident happen, and this was really crazy, and we laughed our heads off, even though it kind of scared us. There were three of us living in an apartment, and we started getting these anonymous phone calls, and they were like breathing, heavy breathing. And so once I answered the phone and I heard the heavy breathing, and I said, "Who is this?" And the voice on the other end said, "I'll be anybody you want me to be." And I laughed and hung up the phone, and then I went and told my girlfriends, and then we started kind of getting scared, thinking, "Ooh, I wonder if he lives in this apartment complex."
Well, we could go in so many different directions. I feel like that we're going to have to do another installment of conversations with mom. But I was thinking, I always have these very random memories, and I wanted to talk a little bit of rock and roll, maybe here at the very end.
Oh, yeah.
And you can tie this into your experiences as well. But Robert and I very much remember our first concert, and I think it was Robert that successfully sold it to you. We were in third grade, maybe fourth grade. Aerosmith was coming to town.
Yes.
And they were back on the scene. They had Dude Looks Like a Lady, Walk This Way. I think they'd kind of been gone from the radio for a few years. But I think because there was some appeal there for you to also maybe see them again. Do you remember that night? Robert and I have our memories. Do you remember that? And then maybe take me back to some bands that you got to see in the late 70s that people might be interested in hearing about.
Oh, yeah. I remember going to see Aerosmith because that was fun. That was a lot of fun because I liked their music. But the first concert I ever went to was at Atlanta Stadium. It was Black Oak, Arkansas, Leon Russell, Allman Brothers, and, oh, shoot, who's the other? Marshall Tucker.
What a bill.
I'm telling you, it was one of the best concerts I ever saw. But I did talk a boyfriend into taking me to see the Carpenters at the Atlanta Stadium. He was embarrassed to go, but I loved the Carpenters. But that concert with Black Oak, Arkansas, Marshall Tucker, Allman Brothers, and Leon Russell, that's probably the best concert I have ever seen in my life and listened to. And I did see Marshall Tucker again at the Fox Theater, and that was amazing because the Fox Theater in Atlanta is like everything is Egyptian motif, and I don't know how old that theater is, over 120 years old probably. And it was my first experience with Mary Jane. And I'm telling you, it definitely made a concert come alive, as they say. Made you want to get up and dance.
Yep.
Yeah. And I have to say, as an old lady, I've not given up Mary Jane. And I have no intentions of. I can give up alcohol, but I'm not giving MJ up. Nope. No doubt about it.
Well, this has been magnificent, Mom, to have you on the podcast and to have some quality time with you. It's what we were trying for this weekend. It wasn't for sure that my mom was going to come down and visit us because we weren't traveling this year. So my oldest son, Warren, really, really wanted Nana to be here. And she said, if you're calling for me, I'm coming. And it facilitated some special time between mother and son.
Yes.
And I love you very much. And I'm so grateful to capture your stories and your personality on this podcast.
Oh, well, thank you, Daniel. Thank you. I love you too. And this has been a lot of fun, an awful lot of fun. It may be boring to some people, but, you know, they can turn it off. But hope everybody has a good rest of their weekend. And thanks, Daniel.
You're very welcome. I think you had some great advice for young mothers, young fathers. And if people have listened from start to finish, you probably didn't think that where we started was where we were going to end up. But that's what you get on this podcast. And if you have a mother, a father, or a sibling, and I know that estrangements are real, they do happen, and there's some people that you haven't spoken to in 8 years or 20 years, and there's a good reason for that, maybe you don't reopen that one. But if there is a conversation with a special person that just, it's just been sitting on the table, it's been waiting to be had, hopefully this inspires you to just pick up the phone and get those, sometimes run short of words.
Don't let those special relationships go, because you can't get them back. And once, if you have estrangements with a brother, a sister, a mother, a daddy, fix those if you can, because you'll regret it once they're gone. You really will. My sister and I had an estrangement for 2 weeks, and it just ate at me. I couldn't stand it. We disagree on some things. But I wrote her a letter so I could let her know how I felt and how much I loved her, even though we disagreed. And we now have our relationship back. And I can't tell you how bad I felt when we weren't speaking. So get those relationships, because you never know how long you have. And they're special.
That's great, Mom. One more thing I would add. Maybe you do see your parent or brother all the time, but all you're talking about is business, or you're just talking about surface level stuff. Surprise them one day and ask your dad to take you back to 1975 or 1985 and, hey, what was the first concert you saw? Get them talking about their experiences and show some interest, and get into the storytelling. You might uncover something there. Mom, I hope that we can do this again. I've had so much fun tonight.
Oh, I'd love to, Daniel, because I saw the Rolling Stones, and I can tell you about that.
There you go. There's the cliffhanger.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode of the Dan Time Podcast. Be good to each other and be good to yourself. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Thanks so much, Mom.
Oh, you're welcome, honey.
I love you.
Love you too.